Now, for about 10 years now, the Capital One folks keep on asking, what's in your wallet? For a much longer time, Jesus is asking, what's in your heart? So to get at this, Jesus told this frankly bizarre story that sounds as if it extols the virtues of being dishonest. So this manager, when he got caught, he goes out to the outstanding accounts, cuts them in half, we're told, in order to make friends with himself so that they might take him in after he loses his job. And then, when the owner finds out what the dishonest manager has done, he compliments him. Now, if that's not confusing enough, Jesus goes on to say, so, be shrewd. Make friends for yourselves in dishonest ways, so that when the money fails, they'll take you in. What? Is Jesus really telling us to be dishonest? Well, fortunately, the story does not end here. Jesus continues saying, if you're dishonest in small things, nobody's going to trust you with big things. The punchline, of course, comes at the end of the story where Jesus says, nobody can serve two masters. If you love one, you're going to hate the other. You can't serve God and money. So this is where the first part of the story might start to make some sense. Here Jesus says, okay, look, if you want to be dishonest and live by the ways of the world, you better be really good at it, because that's all you're going to have. But if you want real life, then live by a higher path. Not only being honest, but being responsible and trustworthy, using the owner's things the way the owner would want them used. We can't have it both ways. We cannot love God and money both. It's that simple. So, do we really love money? Well, I can't tell you that, but if making money or wanting it or getting it is the thing that our lives are organized around, then maybe. If we forget that the people we work for live at home, maybe. If our desire to get more and have more leads us down the path of rationalizing actions that are questionable or dishonest, maybe. If we have forgotten how to share, if we have forgotten how to be generous, then maybe money has become our God and the thing we love. It is so easy to end up loving money. But the problem is, it does not love us back. It just can't do it. Now, we've all heard people say money can't buy you love, but it makes, or money can't buy you happiness, but it makes misery a lot easier to handle. And our culture tells us that our value, our worth as a person, depends on how much we have, that some is good and more is better, enough is never enough. Now, the reality is we can't live without money, which is why we can get stuck with this. Anybody who has ever struggled with money or run out might get a little fearful about this and might get a little fearful about ending up there again and get defensive and guarded about it. And when we hear words like this from Jesus, we might even assume that Jesus is saying that money is bad and we shouldn't have any. But that's not what Jesus is saying at all. Jesus is not saying that money is bad. He's not saying that having money is bad. What he's saying is a problem is loving it. And there's a huge distinction. Now, we probably know that Jesus talks about the danger of loving money more often than he talks about anything else. That tells us how important this issue is. And it's nothing new. The good news is, we don't need to choose. We don't need to choose between loving God and having money. We can love God and still have money. What we need to guard against is loving money and trying to have God. See the difference? Okay. We try to have God on our terms. Every time we try to water down what Jesus says, warns us about the dangers of being greedy and selfish and of not sharing. But it's not an either-or choice. It's about priorities. What comes first? So Jesus is not out to take away our fun. This is not about trying to make us feel guilty about what we have. Jesus is simply telling us about the dangers of losing ourselves and losing our souls in our stuff. Now, it's interesting. The words that come right after our gospel reading today are these. Now, the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard this, and they ridiculed Jesus. So Jesus said to them, "You justify yourselves in the sight of others, but God knows your hearts. For what is prized by human beings is an abomination in the sight of God." Strong words. An abomination. Wow. So how do we avoid the temptation of loving money? Well, pretty simple. Two words. Ready? Practice generosity. Practice generosity. It's that simple. The common assumption is that our actions follow our beliefs, and very often they do. But it also works the other way. Our beliefs also follow our actions. So practice generosity. Start small and see how it feels. So when that Cub Scout comes to your door selling popcorn you don't need, three cans of which you have from several years past in your cupboard, you don't need to buy the popcorn. But give the Cub Scout a donation to the pack. They're probably going to make more on it anyway. That's generosity. It feels good. Give a bigger tip in a restaurant. See how that feels. See, the deal is, we hold miracles in our wallets. Right now, the miracles are just seeds. And seeds need to be planted in order to grow. But when we plant those seeds in our wallets, they grow into miracles of God's love and hope for those in need, for the hungry and the lonely, the sick and the unwanted. And you and I, friends, we are the way that miracles of hope and new life in God's name happen. When young kids at Hephatha are fed at 17th and Locust, when penniless, homeless men in recovery get a good meal and clothes to wear, miracles happen, and lives are saved. So be generous. Support the things you believe in, not just with our words, but with our money. Not all of it, but some. Give to feed the hungry, the suffering, victims of war and disasters. Share your, get ready for this, your toilet paper. Who knew? I don't know how many rolls of toilet paper have come in and out of here, but I think we're approaching 200. Now, you know where this is going. Food pantry we share at Sussex Outreach Service. And you know, when it comes time where you don't have food in the house and you got little ones around, I'm guessing you don't have money for toilet paper either. That's what generosity looks like. And I bet we still have enough. I bet nobody here missed a meal because you brought in toilet paper. In our church, the challenge grant to support Cross and Bread of Healing Ministry is still on, matching what we give at 100%. Now, something happens when we're generous. It changes us. It thaws our hearts. Oh, you know what happened to Scrooge in Dickens' Christmas Carol. When he saw the impact of his greed and cheapness on other people, when he learned that when he died, nobody would care, and instead of saying goodbye, they'd say good riddance, Scrooge got his wake-up call. And he started to use some of what he had to make a difference for others. You know how the story ends. He fed Tiny Tim's family and ended up saving his life. But he didn't just save Tiny Tim's life. Scrooge got his own life back too. Now, practicing generosity does not always come easily. You know, sometimes it can kind of feel like petting a dog the wrong direction against the fur. We need to choose it. And when we do, we feel God's love flowing through us, and some of it rubs off, and it sticks. Seeds of hope new life, good news, relief for those who are suffering are planted. And it has another unexpected consequence. Being generous heals our fear of not having enough. It heals our fear. The world says, what's in your wallet is most important. Love your money. Jesus says, it's what's in your heart that's most important. Love God and use your money. Use some to do what's needed. Mortgages and bills, right? Use some to have fun. And use some to plant seeds of new miracles and feel what it's like to be God's partners in healing this world. So friends, may you know the freedom that comes from not loving things that cannot love you back. May your hearts be filled with true riches that heal all fear. And may you be generous, just as God is generous with you.